big tariffs on imported cars? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. This is more than a tweet. The Trump administration has just directed its trade apparatus to look into applying import tariffs to foreign cars and trucks, as much as 25% on a Toyota, a Honda, VW, or Kia, to name a few. If it happens, it would be, quote, very regrettable, Japan's trade minister is quoted as saying today. BMW shares are down. Daimler just looked at that, down 2.8%. Shares of General Motors are up 1.1% in pre-market trading. Japan, for instance, exported 1.7 million cars to the U.S. last year. Meanwhile, Ford pulled out of Japan because people weren't buying. Let's get some insight by turning to David Bailey, a professor of industry at Aston University in Birmingham, UK. Professor, good morning.
Good morning.
So the Trump administration here wants to help the U.S. economy and American workers by possibly, they're studying this, applying import tariffs to foreign cars. What do you make of that? What do you think of that?
I'm not sure it's going to work at all. I mean, I think this is a very blunt instrument when the car industry globally these days is very integrated, supply chains cross borders. And it's not, we don't have this view that, you know, a car is made in America anymore or a car is made in Germany. It could be a German manufacturer making a car in, say, Mexico that uses lots of components from the United States. This could have all sorts of unintended consequences. And a lot of foreign manufacturers actually make a lot of cars employing a lot of workers in the United States.
Well, that's among the things that complicate this, of course, right? Because after in the 1980s, where ultimately foreign manufacturers were faced with essentially quotas about sending cars to the U.S., lots of factories opened in the U.S. that, say, Toyota, say, Nissan, say, BMW.
That's absolutely right. So there's probably a dozen different manufacturers or more in the United States. So, you know, that Mercedes-Benz that Trump is complaining about that's being driven in New York might well have been assembled in Alabama.
But one of the things that I think may stick in the craw of the Trump administration is that the Japanese, which do send so many cars to the U.S., for instance, they don't buy a lot of American cars. And some of that may have to do with restrictions in Japan.
That may be the case. We also got to remember there are different regulations there. And increasingly, American car manufacturers are kind of retreating into the pickup truck market where it's hugely profitable for them. But that's not a product that sells around the world that well. It's a particularly American market. So Americans have positioned themselves in segments of the market that appeal to American consumers, don't necessarily sell well overseas.
All right. David Bailey, professor at Aston University in Birmingham, England. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, the New York Times today is reporting a possible self-driving car partnership between Apple of Cupertino, California, and VW of Wolfsburg, Germany. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London down a point. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed to little changed. You ever get sick, go to get checked, and it takes 5 visits, 3 doctors, and 12 tests till they nail the diagnosis and get you patched up? That's too common, and it's expensive. One of the most famous healthcare institutions in the country is trying to solve this and other medical problems by embracing Silicon Valley-style startup culture. The president and CEO of the Mayo Clinic is John Noseworthy. The doctor made a house call at our New York bureau. Dr. Noseworthy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, David. Good to be here.
So it's my understanding that there's some systemic change that you're pushing over at Mayo in terms of the business operations, but I don't understand why. You're an incumbent. You have done very well under the present system. Why are you thinking of working with smaller companies and so forth?
Well, it's a transformative time in healthcare, and everyone says that, David. But advances in technology and software and diagnostics are coming so quickly, and Mayo has so many intellectual assets that it's important for us to bring these to scale, and we can only do that if we partner with others.
So you're having conversations, for instance, with what I would call a startup company.
Many startup companies. 5 years ago, we changed our policies to bring and encourage a culture of entrepreneurship amongst our physicians and scientists, but we've wanted to be so careful about that bond between the physician and the patient, which is so important when you have a salary-based model of teamwork answering patients' questions. You don't want to have patients conflicted. Is their physician conflicted with what they're telling me? So we had to build that policy very carefully so we don't destroy what's been such a trusted name in healthcare.
Now, this may be cool. This may be especially interesting to investors. But if you're a patient, do you see a payoff here? Because there's a lot of problems that need to be fixed in medicine that patients are very concerned about.
Well, but I think they see that Mayo's part of those solutions for them. So how do we predict who's going to have a sudden death problem if that runs in the family? How do you best predict that using artificial intelligence would be another. There's so much waste in the healthcare system, and perhaps 20 or 30% of that comes from not getting the answer right the first time. And what we're most interested in is things that will get us that answer the first time. Get it right the first time so the patient knows what's ahead of them. And then do what the right thing to do. And if it's something very expensive and it's life-changing or curative, and we've seen examples of that, that saves money in the long term.
A big headline of the year so far has been indications that Amazon, which is this amazing retailer, but also innovator in the tech space, is interested in the healthcare field. What do you make of that?
We don't have a high-quality, sustainable, affordable healthcare system in America, and folks are looking at that and saying, what could I bring to that? Of course, Amazon, JP Morgan Chase, and Berkshire Hathaway can bring capital, logistics, know-how, technology, price transparency, and we don't see it as a threat. We see it as important and as exciting. All of this disruptive investing and coming together will, we believe, help with the problem that every American is facing, and that is, how are they going to pay for healthcare?
John Noseworthy is president and CEO of the Mayo Clinic, which is a nonprofit. Dr. Noseworthy, thank you.
Thanks so much, David.
And the IRS is warning that it will not allow state governments to let taxpayers circumvent the new cap on state and local tax deductions. Several states with high local taxes, think California, New York, New Jersey, have been scheming on clever ways to get around this federal cap, which are seen as discriminating against bigger blue states where the taxes are high. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.